Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 371 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Yes, another wacky Wednesday. Wild Wednesday. Hap day. We're halfway there. Weekend's right around the corner. As you're listening to this, though, I'm on a vacation. This is the power of editing. Of course, it is Sunday night here at 10 o'clock. And wrapped up my interview with Robert. I was going to make the Sunday episode, but I kind of ran out of time. And so there's no Sunday episode, but I figured I'm going to save this for Wednesday. So I uploaded it. And, yes, because you're listening to this, I'm going to be in the City of Champions, Edmonton, Alberta, and a little mini vacation. My wife and I, of course, she's on school break, so took a few days off, bombed up to Edmonton, hopefully see some friends. Yeah, I'll probably hit them. Oh, of course, got to go to the mall, right? Yeah, the mall, and I'm sure I'll sneak in a casino visit or two. And, not that we're degenerates or anything, but, we have to see if we're going to run into old Chris Graff out there and my boy Kevin. We're going to see. We'll try to make some time. But I managed to a pretty nice hotel room. Got a little hot tub action. Hey, you know, just sitting there and, you know, put my feet up, have the jets going. Oh, grab a couple beers, lean back, and maybe wonder what the poor people are doing right now. Yeah, it's a tough life. Hockey Podcast Network credit card, gold card, yeah. So they're keeping it on the down low. They thought I was gonna just stay down at the local Motel 6, but no, we've upgraded to suites, so. No, we're just hanging out at the Best Western. That's not bad. We've stayed there a few times. Whatever. The place is clean. It's all right. Right beside it, Peter's Drive-Thru. Edmonton Edition. Of course, that's a famous drive-thru restaurant in Calgary that's been there, I think, since the 50s or 60s. But they branched off to Edmonton. I don't know. We ate there once. It was all right. So, you know, it's over beside the parking lot. So, we'll see what's happening. I'm sure everyone's really excited so far with this intro. This is riveting stuff here. Today's episode, like I said, the podcast, normally we get the who's who. Today we got the who's that. But from the Lone Star State, the man, he kind of looks like Hank Williams Jr. I was waiting for him to break out to "Are You Ready for Some Football" when I answered the phone. But No, Robert's a good dude. We sat down, we talked, we gave him a little 10 rapid fire questions. Although, like I said, the thing, I don't know why I keep calling it, I should just call it the 10 questions segment. Because there's nothing rapid about any of this, because it's like 40 minutes, you know. So, like, rapid by that word would mean, like, it's, you know, we get it done in a minute and a half and hang up. But, yeah, we're 40 minutes later, we're still talking. So, yeah, maybe it's just 10 questions with Robert. But out in Dallas, that little Dallas Stars fan, yeah, no, we won't hold that against him. But it was a good talk. I enjoyed it. I'd like to thank him again for coming on the show. And, yeah, so we'll do that here. Again, I gotta get up really early tomorrow morning and do some work and go to work for a little while and then we're gonna hit the highway. So I'm not gonna talk long tonight. I mean, like we're I've never said that before. Well, I have to always, of course, bring this up that I'm obviously a member of the Hockey Podcast Network and there's over 100 shows in the network. I'm on the original content creator side, but along with Terry Ryan, old Ted Hitchcock from Shorezy, and Joe Lazito of the Coliseum Chronicles fame. And check out their back catalogs. You know, TR, he's got quite the Rolodex. You know, when you're a star and everything, you can just, you roll in the heavy hitters. And then we got Joe Lazito talking about, you know, I don't know, swimming across the border into Canada under the cloak of darkness, him and his kid. And I don't know. We really got to work. We got to work on our border security. Clearly, you know, we're just letting anybody in. his OHL adventures, but Joe's got a tremendous back catalog as well. Mick Fakota, Dino, and Trevor Gillies. His latest ones are Steve McLaren and Darcy Harris. So yes, old Joe, he's done it for a while, and check it out, Coliseum Chronicles. Give it a listen. If you happen to be on social media, check me out, Fourth Line Voice on Facebook as well as on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, Fourth Line Voice THPN. I have to say though, my Instagram, not a lot of. I mean, I'll put my episodes on there, but other than that. Pardon me. Other than that, yeah, it's pretty exciting. We're yawning here into the episode. Sorry, folks. I've been up like since 5:30. I'm just, you know, but yeah. What was I saying? Oh yes, the real professional outfit here tonight. I mean, I have my episodes up there, but I don't know. I just can't Instagram. I don't know. Can't seem to get into it for some reason. But anyway, I'm on there. But if you're not on social media and you want to get a hold of me, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Or if you are on social media, my DMs are open, as the kids say. So feel free to drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Also, if you happen to be on the YouTubes and you want to watch some hockey fights, Fourth Line Voice. I got you covered from all angles here. The Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have over 2,000 fight videos on my channel. All leagues, junior, minors, NHL. Couple interviews, some old Don Cherry Grapevine shows. Check it out. Type it in a little search engine, boom, up it'll come. Highly recommend it. Please subscribe to the channel. I know I keep saying I want to update. I do want to update it. I got a bunch of stuff that I could throw on there. So I have to. I've been sporadic with my uploading of videos on YouTube lately, but yeah, I'll get into that here once the once we're back and stuff. I got some stuff that I think you guys will dig, so I'll get that on there for you. Well, like I said, I Robert and I talked for about, I think it's about 40 some minutes, so I won't ramble on for very long today about anything. The only thing I will talk about, of course, weeks back, I had the player spotlight on young Matt Henry, the Brandon Wheat Kings. Love the old school style. Highly recommend you check out his stuff on YouTube and stuff. Of course, my phone blew up with all the notifications and everybody sending it to me. He has been suspended for 8 games from the Western Hockey League, for an illegal, for a drug test, failed drug test. Contrary to all the idiots online and, oh, steroids and blah, blah. No, it wasn't. So just, it's just idiocy. And of course, when you're already like, when you're the bad guy, I guess it comes with the territory with tough guys too, I guess. You know, outside of Brandon, it's like, you know, he's public enemy number one. And all these people that are like on that WHL group and stuff that are talking shit about him, it's like, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, oh, that's why he's so roid rage. That's why he's so mean. Shut up. Like, these buffoons, I mean, well, I always say with social media, it's a megaphone for stupidity. And it's given every idiot a voice. And I just, the hypocrisy of social media is just staggering. You know, I mean, they're going into the playoffs now. Obviously, the kid made a mistake. He knows he made a mistake. I'm sure he feels bad enough. You know, I mean, whatever. Like, we can all go, like, everybody's okay, he's like, he's some, you know, like, he's on steroids, like he's Hulk Hogan or Ultimate Warrior or something. It's like, yeah, yeah, calm down. It's like, you know, they're treating him like, all of a sudden, it's like he's friggin', you know, Pablo Escobar here and with the drugs or something. And, we got to give him 5 to 10 in the PA pen or something. Like, relax, you know. I don't think we have to, you know, he should be banned from hockey. Like, oh, okay. You know, but yet if he played on, air quotes, your team, oh, you'd be on here defending him left and right. Like I said, kid made a mistake. He knows he made a mistake. Just calm down. It's the folks, the rumor, it's all bullshit. It's just, if you don't know, well, I was going to say, if you don't know, maybe shut up. But I think that half of the internet would go dark if people actually followed that. The hypocrisy, like the whole thing, like, and I've read for a while now, I've gone back and read these people shit talking Matt Henry about this, that, and everything else. You know, and I've seen it for years with the tough guys and whatever, these people just shit talking about everything else. The part that I find just completely eye-rolling, and like I said, the hypocrisy of it all, is these same bozos that go on, and I'm not just Henry, they'll shit-talk this guy and that guy, and anybody that's not on, the air quote, their team, they just flap their lips behind their, you know, their little usernames and their fake profiles, and like I said, everyone's a keyboard pervert when the, you know, behind the screen, talking shit about him. But then when all of a sudden, it's Bell Let's Talk or some mental health thing. Oh yeah, no, everybody retweet for mental health and, you know, pray and it's okay to not be okay. And remember, folks, you could go talk to people. And, oh yeah. Meanwhile, this douchebag's sending DMs to players and shit talking them and going on social media and tweeting at them and everything and attacking them. Just talking major shit to the beat of the band. But oh, but remember, mental health, folks, remember. Fuck you. Yeah. You know, you're just, you hypocrites. You people are sewer dwellers. And, and I'm not going to say they're kids, leave alone their kids. No, they're elite level athletes and they're over 18 and whatever. You know, so yes, they're adults and stuff. I refer to them as kids. They're kids to me because I'm an old man. But it's like, just, hey. And if you want to, oh, he got suspended, that's a bad look, he shouldn't do, like, he's hurt his team and stuff. Hey, those are all, that's, you're laying truth out. You can't be so, you can't be mad about that. That's the truth, you know. But he knows that. But to go on and make all this horse shit, like, talking about shit, you know, like, one lady's going on about some roid rage thing, and she's talking about Chris Benoit and all that, and that's why he's trying to hurt people, blah, blah. Shut up. You don't even know what he's banned. Like, they never came out with any. So stop speculating. Just mind your fucking business. Just shut up. These people that go on and you just talk about shit you have no clue about. It's embarrassing. Made a mistake. He'll be fine. He'll turn pro next year and whatever. And you'll have a new villain to yell at next year. Whatever. But just, you talk about shit you have no clue what you're talking about. just like I said, just flapping your lips. Oh, I heard, I know. Oh, I know a guy that talked to a guy that knew a guy that drives a Zamboni in Brandon. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you don't know shit. And I see these stupid websites, House of Hockey, and Blades of Steel, just a bunch of nonsense. But the amount of the rubes all buy it, the bozos buy an econ. It's just like, oh, it's just embarrassing. So Matt Henry, I'm telling you now, kid, if you're out there and you're listening to this, yeah, it's a tough one. You know, you know better, but hey, we live and learn. Dust yourselves off, get back at it. And I'm sure he'll be a good teammate and he'll be around while the playoff run's going. Won't be in lineup, but, you know, and we move on from things. Well, a million guys made mistakes. Believe me, you're not a pioneer. You're not blazing a new trail. There's been plenty before you and there'll be plenty after you that screw up. So, head up and, learn from it and, you'll be all right. We'll see him in the pro ranks next year. And you can give all these people a big shit burger to eat. So don't worry about it. But yes, let's move on. You'll be all right. The kids will be all right, as they say. But you know it'll be all right. How about the final four? We're down. Like, North Carolina State, look at that 11th seed beating Duke today in the final four. Oh man, I'm telling you. But man, UConn's rolling, folks. I don't know. That they're like a juggernaut. Can't see anybody taking them out. I got them to win in my bracket. That's about the only thing I got right in my bracket was UConn. Although, who knows? But I mean, that's who I got. But yeah, I had them beating Kentucky in the final. Oh, good call. Yeah, Kentucky. Yeah, who lost to a 14 seed in the first round. Man, I need to pick a winner here, something gamble. I was telling Jay, I couldn't pick the winner of a one-horse race right now. Holy, the slumping. But I didn't play today. I was just like, no, I'm good for today. We'll retire from the gambling for a few days anyway. But anyway, yeah. But the reason I bring this up, folks, if you want to bet on the Final Four, hey, DraftKings, playoffs are right around the corner. Hockey's coming. Use the promo code THPN. Pretty sweet sign-up bonus. Get some bonus money. Throw some bets down. Why not? Check it out, DraftKings. Plus, when you use the promo code, you're helping out the Hockey Podcast Network. You're helping out old Darren, you know, and the other 99 shows at the network. So, you know, you help Lazito sneak into the country, that type of thing. You know, all these types of things come when you use the promo code THPN. But, no, like I said, I know people before have bitched about, you got ads. Well, I got one ad. You know, I give you an hour and 20 minutes of content. You're complaining about the minute and 6 seconds for the ad. Come on, man. Work with me a little bit here. We gotta keep the sponsors happy. And, this is how we get paid. And when you listen to this episode, please download, don't stream. That's how we do get paid, in all seriousness. And rate and review the episodes. Not only mine, but if you listen to Joe's show, any podcast you happen to listen to, there's that star rating on iTunes and on Spotify. And yeah, if you could hit the star rating, that'd be great, because it actually helps out in the algorithm and stuff. Like I said, same thing with Twitter. When you like subscribe and you like videos and shit, YouTube loves that shit. So it helps in the algorithm. So that would be cool if you guys could do that. And if you're going to, and seriously though, I mean, a lot of people out there like to bet. Some of you don't gamble. That's cool. I get it. But for those that do, if you want to go to DraftKings, please sign up and use that promo code and it helps out the network. So, but I got to do an ad read here and then we're going to get back and we're going to talk to Robert and we're going to do 10, I won't call them rapid, 10 questions with Robert in Dallas, the Lone Star State. And I want to thank him again for coming on. Great guest. Good dude. We had a long talk before and, really enjoyed it. And, hopefully it won't be the last time we have him on the show. Him and I were talking about a few things I wouldn't mind trying out. So in the near future, so we'll see how that goes. But, as I always say with you guys, I know there's hundreds of podcasts out there to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I do greatly appreciate it. And, Thank you. And I love hearing the comments and the feedback from you guys. It's been great. Last couple months here, it's been really strong. Feedback's been really good. Hearing from a lot of people, picked up some new listeners. So, yeah, that's cool. So, and I appreciate it. I really do. And, yeah, guys, so as you're listening to this, I'm hopefully sitting in a hot tub in Edmonton, enjoying a couple beers and, watching the Jays on TV. So, we will talk to you guys, I guess, next Sunday. Hopefully I have some, I'll probably have some stories from Edmonton to tell you, but, I'll talk to you then. And, in the meantime, here's my conversation, my 10 questions with Robert from the Lone Star State. Talk to you guys Sunday. I tried to make it like really cool there, and couldn't find my mouse where I had to hit stop and edit it. Yeah, this is a real slick production here. Okay, here, hold on. I'm really going this time.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, well, here on the Fourth Line Voice, I have a special guest way down in the heart of Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, they say. Robert's on the line. Robert, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Very good. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Of course.
We've been yapping like a couple old ladies in an inning circle here for a couple. Well, we're talking about wrestling. We're talking a whole bunch of stuff. But Robert has agreed to come on the show and do the 10 rapid fire segment. So, I'm looking forward to doing this here. But first of all, before we get into it, when did you get into hockey and, what sparked your interest?
Basically when the Stars, moved down here to Texas from, Minnesota in 93, 94. So I guess it's 30 years now.
Yeah.
So, they came down here. I started watching and, like I was saying, we had the Fort Worth Fire here, which was, you know, where they played was only about 20 minutes from us. And like I was telling you, my sister started dating one of the players, and we, you know, went to games then. And I, you know, started falling in love with the sport, and then more and more saw this guy on the Stars named Shane Cherla. And that's what basically made me, like, really get into it.
Oh, Chainsaw Cherla. Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I always say with Cherla, that's kind of what got me into like hockey fighting, was his fight way back when in like 1985 or whatever, when he was with Hartford, and he fought, wouldn't have been 85, it would have been older than that, 87 maybe, when he fought Kevin McGuire. Still one of my favorite hockey fights of all time. Yep. And, needless to say, I was a Shane Cherla fan after, ever since. That's a good pick there, Shane Cherla.
Yeah, I just watched that fight last night. I watched my Best of Shane Cherla DVD last night. And I think it was 94-95, Cherla fought Sandy McCarthy, I believe, in Calgary. It's a toe-to-toe, real quick fight, but that was the one that got me into fights. That was the first fight I actually recorded on VHS, and that's when I started, you know, collecting fights, I guess. So yeah, Turlough and McCarthy. That was I could watch that fight now and do the play by play with them. I've seen it so many times, you know, word for word.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, man. That a Turlough DVD. That's a beauty DVD right there. Turlough was awesome, and the Fort Worth Fire there. The Fort Ron Aubrey, Trevor Converse. Oh, the good old Fort Worth Fire minor league days.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, tremendous.
Oh yeah. Yep, Troy Frederick was there. Troy Frederick, yeah. There was a guy named Dwight Mullins.
Yep.
I don't think he played a lot of years, but, yeah, Dwight was, from what I remember, like, he was pretty crazy. Like, and from, you know, just the few games I did get to go to the year that my brother-in-law played here. Yeah, those were some fun games, especially against the Dallas Threes. They had a good rivalry against them. I remember my cousin took me over to one of the Dallas Freeze games. I can't remember the name of the arena that they played in now, but like it was, you know, this was 94, 95, somewhere around there. And it was a rivalry then, like, you know, like there was a section where only the Fort Worth Fire fans sat, you know, because it wasn't like, you know, we were getting yelled at and stuff the whole time. I didn't really completely understand all of it then, but it was a real rivalry back then, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and back, yeah, the old Central League and stuff. I mean, yeah, I mean, so, and like those teams are just like, yeah, 94, 95. Like you just, you know, you go back and you look at all the, yeah, a lot of those, Darren Misiak and Rob McKeag and all those guys and like, yeah, Brian Wells and stuff. I mean, yeah, all those old, most of those guys were old Western Hockey League guys. So, but yeah, down in Central Texas and all that. And, oh, the good old days, the good old days. But, well, here we go. Well, I know you know about the 10 rapid fire questions. We'll kind of, so folks, I tell you, Rob didn't know what I'm going to hit him with here. He doesn't know the questions that are coming. So, here we go. Well, I'll start off with, I always say we'll start off with the easy one. Who's your favorite enforcer of all time?
Shane Charlotte.
Well, that was easy. I guess we kind of already,
like I said, the first
we already established that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He was just, I mean, and he was only here for a couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, I think that first season here, he had like 333 penalty minutes and 20 something fights, something like that.
Yep.
And yeah, like it was like it caught on really quick here in Dallas, the, you know, the violence that he would display on the ice, you know. He just didn't give a shit, you know, like, and he fought anybody, you know. He wasn't that big of a guy either, and he was fighting all the big guys, and he wasn't a guy who would stop when the refs came in either. He was never one of those guys. He wasn't done until you pulled him apart and took him to the penalty box.
Yeah, well, that was always the great thing with Turlough. Well, and Turlough could run around. He's a great body checker, he'd throw the body and get things going that way, but that was always good. It wasn't just that he would fight too; it was just the way he fought. Right? He's just that wide open, thousand, you know, machine gun punching. I mean, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like he was wrestling. Yeah. Like people always love a good fight, right? And they, you know, whatever. But when you get guys that'll open up and go toe to toe, that just adds to it. And yeah, Turlough definitely had that in spades for sure. Well, I guess
we're gonna go. He was never one of those guys that had his head down.
No. No, exactly. He wasn't going to wrestle you. No, there was no hugging in a Shane Turlough fight. That's for sure. Well, number two, yes, we got to go on the other side of the coin. Who's your most hated enforcer? Now we say this like hated. I mean, we're not like wishing death on anyone or anything like that. But as fans, when you're watching, you're like, I don't like this guy. You know, who is that for you?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's not hate. It's more of like, style wise, like I never, my time was, you know, early to mid 90s, you know, like that's when I started watching and stuff, like, and I never liked Andrei Nazarov. I never liked the way he fought, and he was, didn't he like get suspended for raking someone's eyes or something?
Oh, shit, he eye raked a guy, headbutted Stefan Quintal. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, like. I mean, I know there's, you know, you know, there's a lot of guys that were dirty players and shit like that. Shane Turlow could be as dirty as anybody, but like Nazarov, he was just one of those guys that would kind of, he would just kind of lock you up. He wouldn't open up like Turlow would, like hardly ever. You know, you would never see him throw punches wide open like that. And like you said, it's not really so much a hate as it is like a style. I just didn't like his style and how he went about his business, I suppose.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're certainly not alone in that camp. Yeah, Nazarov. I never got the Nazarov thing. I still can't believe he was like a first round pick. I was like, who would waste a draft pick on that guy? I mean, a big dude and everything, but just, ugh, I know, San Jose. Oh, yeah. I never got that one. Yeah, Nazarov, that's a good answer. Yeah, I'm completely in agreement on this. Well, I know you're, well, obviously Robert and I, this is how, well, I got him on the show. Obviously, we're in the fight boards and in the Facebook groups and the different fight groups and everything. So we talk about lots of different guys, videos and all that stuff. But who do you think's overrated?
Who do I think's overrated?
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, that's a tough one. Because I don't know if people would agree with this. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to say John Scott, actually. Just because, you know, the time period I was watching him as an adult, you know, I understood what was going on then. And I think if the guy would have been, if he would have been meaner, like, I think he would have been a killer. But I just don't think, his heart was really, like, into, you know, enforce. So, like, he never really, like, to me, he never really, like, you know, did a crazy great job at being an enforcer, you know. Like, I mean, he fought guys, but, like, you rarely ever saw him, like, just beat the snot out of someone, you know.
I completely agree with you. With John Scott, I've always said John Scott would. I always say he'd fight, but he wasn't a fighter. I don't think he had the heart of a fighter. Yeah. He was just a big guy that got put in that role, and he understood if he was going to make the NHL, that's what he had to do. But and he did fight. I will say, I'm not going to say who it was because he doesn't need to get the hate mail. But actually, I've had two people say it. But the one guy I was talking to, you know, whatever was around Scott at the time period and whatever, a player, he called John Scott a spot picker. And he goes, go back and look. He goes, who'd you ever fight? He goes, look at all the guys you avoided. There was no Bugard on there, McIntyre. He didn't fight any of these guys, you know? And it was just like, he thought, because they played with him and stuff, like they were teammates and shit. He's like, I think he actively dodged guys, you know? And it was just certain guys. And so he goes, oh, he's a tough guy. He wasn't saying he wasn't tough or anything. He goes, he was a tough guy for the period and all that, and he went and did it, and I'm not knocking him, but he goes, there's some names that are not on the card. And he goes, so when I see people sort of include Scott in the amongst the elite guys, it's like, no, you know. But that was his opinion. Yeah. But no, you can kind of see it, you know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he did have some success. It wasn't like he was in the NHL getting his ass kicked, but, you know, but at the same time.
No, yeah.
You know, but, no, I get it. No, and now, again.
Sometimes to me it almost seemed like he wasn't taking it serious.
You know?
Like, I think there was a fight with Colton Orr where Orr caught him with a good one and he just left.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, I guess I got dropped, and he just kind of laughed it off. I'm like, oh, all right, that's okay. I see.
Yeah, and it's, well, and the thing with the, especially at the time too. I mean, I guess in that, because it wasn't that long ago. I guess in that, in the era that when Scott came up, it was sort of, fighting was sort of on the way out anyway. I guess kinda, and it was like, I mean, it wasn't the 80s or 90s, that's for sure, right? So it was still sort of, yeah. I mean, I always just say like that whole, the thing with the Leafs and the whole Phil Kessel, when he grabbed Kessel after the thing and all that. And to listen to him tell this story, I've always
said, why tell him what you're going to do?
Well, him telling that story shows me exactly right then he doesn't know how to be an enforcer or why.
Yeah.
And, or he didn't get it.
If he was going to jump him, don't fucking tell him.
Exactly. Yeah. And why are you being nice to him? Like, The point is, they took a round out of your teammate, right? Like, that's why you're doing. That's why they told you to grab some. Like, it's just like clear. He doesn't understand it. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And it was just like, yeah. I mean, when he told the story, I was just like, yeah, that's right there. You don't get it. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. So he'd fight, but he wasn't a fighter, kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
But what is that? Three, four. Well, again, other side of the coin. Who in your mind is underrated?
Underrated. I thought you might ask this one, so I thought about it. I kind of like. There's a lot of guys throw out Paul Laws.
Yeah.
And I think he is underrated. The dude was tough as fucking nails, and he looked like it too.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with John Erskine. Erskine just fucking threw fucking bombs. When he came up with Dallas, I was like, who the, you know, like, I didn't see, like I was telling you earlier, I didn't see, like, a lot of these guys' junior stuff, you know?
Yep.
Like, I didn't have the internet, you know, in the early 2000s. So, like, when he came up from, I think it was with Utah, I think that's who their affiliate was then.
Yep.
And I remember Daryl Ray talking about him, how he could, you know, throw good, and then he's, you know, and he didn't have a whole lot of fights with the Stars, but man, he had some good ones, you know. I know a really good one with Joey Tedarenko, and I know he fought Ken Belanger a few times with Dallas. Jarrett Burnett, you know, just he took on the monster guys, like he was the guy taking on the big guys, you know, for Dallas for a couple of seasons, and yeah, and he just, you know, he would just rear back and just, he would try to knock your head off your shoulders, like that's what he did his whole career.
Yeah,
like that's just how he was, and he did have a little bit of a mean streak in him too. Like, you know, he was another guy. Like, if you went to the ice, and I mean, he's not going to just not hit you just because you're on the ice. You know, he's linesmen have got to take him off, and yeah, I'm going with Erskine.
That's a great answer. Yeah, there you go. Johnny Erskine. Yeah, bad dude, man. I forgot. I don't know why. I forgot he came up with Dallas. Erskine. Yeah. That's a bad dude, man. Big guy. For those listening, guys, if you want to see a good Erskine fight, especially a junior fight, on my YouTube channel, go in, watch a fight, John Erskine versus Kip Brennan from the OHL when they were junior. Because at the time, those two were sort of classified as like the kingpins of the OHL. And it was like, and it was finally the clash of the Titans, and they did not disappoint. That's a great junior fight. But yeah, Erskine's a bad dude, man. That's a great answer.
I don't know if I've seen that one or not. I'll look it up. I did watch an Erskine DVD the other night too, so it might have been on there. I can't remember. I watched so many DVDs in the past this past weekend, so they all kind of are going together now.
Yeah, like he another great junior fight he had. Another really good one was against McMorrow. That was a really good junior fight too. But yeah, Erskine's that's a good answer. There we go. Question five. Well, since you've been around the old message boards here and Facebook groups and everything, and you have since gone on to get onto YouTube and watch fights and DVDs, and you know, we all grow as people. Who have you done a 180 on? You'd be like, oh, I hate this guy. And all of a sudden you kind of start watching stuff. It's like, you know what? This dude, I kind of into him now. This ain't bad.
Okay. It's not a Dallas guy, but it has to do with Dallas because that's, you know, that's most of my upbringing is watching the Stars. But I hated, and not that I'm a huge fan now, but I hated Kelly Buchberger as a kid. Hated him.
Yeah.
He was, you know, like when I was a kid, he was the captain of the Oilers.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, it seemed like almost every game he was starting shit. You know, Hatcher fought him multiple times. Grant Marshall fought him a few times. And he was always, starting shit with us. He got a hold of Madonna in a scrum one time and was, you know, trying to, you know, fuck with him, which, you know, Hatcher was on the ice, so he ended up getting at him. But like, and then as I got older, you know, like, I was 14, 15 watching all that stuff. So as I got older, like you said, and reading more about it, watching more fights, I was like, this dude is just a captain. Like, he's just out there, like, you know, trying to do stuff for his team, yep. you know, spark his team or stand up for his team, you know, because I know Hatcher, you know, just Hatcher was a mean motherfucker and would dole out a lot of abuse, you know, back then on the Oilers. We played the Oilers a lot, you know, especially like, you know, the playoff series and stuff we had. And he was just doing his job. And like, I respect that now, you know, he was just doing what he had to do, you know, for his team. You know, he was a gamer. He didn't win them all or most of them for that matter. But I have a lot more respect for Kelly Buchberger as I got older and saw what was actually going on, you know, like what he was doing for his team.
I you know what, Rob, I'm telling you, man, you're, if this was an exam, you're acing it. Yeah. Buchberger was awesome. I will say, like, as far as like a captaincy goes, I always say if you had a team full of Kelly Buchbergers, you'd win the Stanley Cup every year. I mean, that guy was just like, like you said, if there's a captain, there it is, right? Heart and soul guy. And it's like, you know, when old Bucky would drop the gloves, he finished third plenty of times, you know, but he would, if there was the cliche bleed for the logo, his picture is in the dictionary under bleed for the logo. And, he was, I was down with Buchberger. Actually, not a bad player either, a better player than I think people give him credit for. But, hey, he played a long time. Yeah, and there's a reason here. Yeah. When you're a captain on multiple teams, it says a lot. So, there you go. Yeah. The boys know. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to go back to the underrated one. Erskine was a great answer, but the other name, the name you just threw out there, people could throw under there. Grant Marshall. Tremendous. Oh.
Woo. He's my favorite middleweight, I would say. Like, he fought most of the heavyweights, hung in with them. You know, like, there's a few guys that caught him and stuff, but he had, you know, he had good fights with Grimson. He had good fight with Probert.
Yep.
You know, he fought LaRocque, I think, once. He fought Brashear. He fought everyone. He fought all the big guys, you know. He fought Erskine when Erskine was here and he was with the Devils. I think he fought him twice in one game, actually. Grant Marshall is probably in my, you know, top favorite players. A lot of mine are obviously going to be Dallas players from, you know, seeing them play a lot of games. But yeah, Grant Marshall was, and the dude that broke his neck, I think, in juniors or something like that.
Yeah.
And came back and played.
Yep. Yeah, it was like a first, like, he was a high draft pick too. Like, yeah, and he was one of the few guys that actually dropped Domi. Like, he didn't knock Domi out, but he caught him. And it was like, oh, Grant Marshall was tremendous. Anybody out there listening, if you do yourself a favor, go look up Grant Marshall on YouTube. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, he had some really good ones with Jim Cummins, too. Yeah. Like, you know, we played the Blackhawks a lot back then. So, Jamie Allison.
Yeah.
They had some good fights. Yeah, like, man, I could go on and on about Grant Marshall. I saw more of him than I saw of Chirla, but, you know.
Yeah.
I digress. I love Grant Marshall. He's awesome.
I agree. So do I. Oh, another name. You're just hitting names out of left field here for underrated. Another one. Jamie Allison, there, folks, look up that guy. Tremendous.
Yeah.
You talk about under the radar tough guy. Didn't fight off a couple times a year, but when he did, he could go, man. It was like Todd Gill back in the day. Didn't fight a lot, but when he did, tremendous.
He had the left piston going.
Yep. One of those surprise guys. I think he caught a few guys by surprise.
He was quick.
Yep.
He almost reminds me, like, his style and the way that he threw. He reminded me of, like, a little bit of a smaller Mark Jansen's. The way he just threw the piston left hands a lot. You know, he was real, real quick. He wasn't knocking guys out, but he was punching you, like, quick.
Yeah, Mark Jansen. There's another. Geez, you're just, look at you. You're just, what is it? Your whole gimmick is just to stay under radar guys or what? Jamie Allison, Mark Jansen, Grant Marshall, Kelly Buchberger. Look at you go over there. Oh, I love it. Now I've lost my place. I got so pumped up there. Oh, number six. All right, here we go. Enforcer Mount Rushmore.
Enforcer Mount Rushmore. So that's four, right?
You're the American. You tell me. Yeah, it's four. Yeah.
I'm a long way from Mount Rushmore. I mean, there's this is the Enforcer Mount Rushmore for me, this is my opinion, right?
Sure, it can be whatever you want it to be, sure. Like, do you want to go your four favorites, your four toughest, however you want to do it. Four all time, whatever. It's your show.
I got to put Probert on there.
I would think so.
Yeah, he's got to be there. God. Twist. You know, I was a huge Twist fan when I was a kid. Let's see. God, I'm showing my age here because I'm not that old, but I'm not young either. Yeah, I'm just going to give you my favorites then. So,
sure.
Probert, Twist, Ray and Domi. Those are my favorite guys. Oh shit, Grimson too. I loved Grimson too when I was a kid.
All right. Well, there we go. That's a good list, I will say. Well,
yeah, well, I didn't see a lot before the early 90s, so like I didn't see much of Dave Brown and like Ben Wilson, guys like that. I didn't see a lot of those guys, you know, like just YouTube stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, like everything we relate to, right, is the era that our fandom developed in, right? So, no, I'm with you too. I mean, obviously, I'm older than you, but it's like I'm kind of the mid '80s on, right? Like, I mean, obviously, you know Ben. I know Ben Wilson, Terry O'Reilly. Yeah. I know all those people, and I've seen this shit on YouTube. But it wasn't, you know, I was 4, 3, 4, 5 years old in the '70s, right? So it's like, yeah. So I wasn't, you know, I have obviously no recollection of that. So. Other than video, but like the '90s, like we're talking about here is my wheelhouse because that's like grade 8 to high school to your formative years, so to speak. So it was like, yeah. So I'm like right with you in terms of like when you talk about Dallas and stuff in '93. Well, I was in grade 12, right? So yeah, well, I remember Charlotte's 300 minutes and all that. Like that was right in my height of fandom, right? Was the '90s. So no, like so the Probert, Twist, Domi, Ray. I mean, yeah. We're speaking the same language, I can tell you. But, well, for all your Dallas games and everything else that you've went to over the years, I'm going to hit, if you can remember, what was the best fight you saw live?
All right, this is going to be a shitty answer because I didn't go to a lot of games when I was a kid. So it's going to be more recent, I would say. God, I don't even remember how many years ago it was now. It was Alexiak and Delorier. And the only reason that was like one of the few fights I've seen live. I've only seen like NHL fights live, like less than 10. You know, I didn't go to a lot of games until like my best friend has season tickets for the past like 4 years. So, and before that, he used to get tickets with the company he worked for. So, it was Alexiak and Delorier. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. Alexiak, I think, busted Delorier's head open, like behind his ear. He got him a bunch of times behind the ear, and that was about it. The only other one I can think of, it wasn't great for me, but I was there last year when Ben got dropped by Manson, and that sucked for me because I'm a Stars fan. You know, I'm a Ben fan, so, and I was hoping Ben would maybe try to get some retribution, but he never did. So, I guess.
Well, but I was going to say,
the best one I saw in person.
Well, I said best fight live. It didn't have to be hockey. Like, if you want to talk about, a couple of the boys getting wound up on some Pap Blue Ribbon and going at it in the Waffle House parking lot at 2 a.m., if that's the best fight you've seen live, well, we can talk about it, you know. But, or Dollar General. What do you guys dig down there?
More fights than I've seen. Dollar General, is that what you said?
Yeah, or whatever. Waffle House, Dollar General. I don't know. What's big in Texas? I've never been to Texas.
Both of those.
Oh, there you go.
I have both of those within a mile of my house.
See?
I'm not out past like 8 o'clock, though. I'm too old for that shit anymore.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I'm inside by the time the street lights come on. Yeah. But, all right.
Yeah.
That's number 8. Dream matchup. could be anything. We could have Terry O'Reilly versus Grant Marshall if you want. I don't care. Whatever. But dream matchup. Who would you have loved to have seen go at it?
Oh, that's a good one. Let's see here. I want to match up guys that are closer in size, but then I also want to. I also would like to have seen like Twist and Bugard. I don't think that had never happened, right?
No,
Twist was already way gone.
Yep. Morasti and Domi.
I think that might have. Oh man, Jesus. Yeah. There you go. There's the size right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been with the '90s guys, and then going into the 2000s. I'm trying to think who would have even like. You know, I was, like I said, I was a big fan of. We never got to see Probert and Ray, right?
No.
Like, I don't think they did. They ever actually go?
No.
Like, I don't think they ever actually did.
No, they didn't.
I don't know. I don't know if that would have been a good matchup for Ray though, but I don't know. I'll stick with Twist and Bugard.
Well, nothing wrong with that one. That would have been a good one. Old Boogie and Twister. Yep. All right. If you could have season tickets to any team, any league, any season, what would it be? If you could go back in time.
Hmm. Well, that's a good one, too. Oh, man. There was a year in the late 90s where half of the Blackhawks roster was just like a crazy amount. I mean, like, wasn't – I think there was a time where it was like Probert and Reed Simpson and like Brad Brown.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Murray was there at one point, I think.
Yep. I think Mark Jansen was on the team too. Yeah.
Jesus, there was Mark Jansen, yeah. Maybe even – part of that season, maybe Jamie Allison might have been there too.
I think so. I think Vandenbosch was on the team.
There was
ridiculous. Yeah,
Vandenbosch. Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. That was so. Because someone had posted on one of the pages before about what do you think the toughest team ever was, and like that's always the first one that comes to mind because there was literally like 10 or 12 guys.
Yeah,
you know, on that team that were just like legit tough guys. It wasn't just like, you know, these guys would fight, like, these guys were fighters, you know, like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I can't remember what season it was, 96, 97, 97, 98, somewhere around there, Blackhawks. They were a terrible, terrible team, but they would have been fun to watch.
Yes, they would have been, yep. There you go. Well, see this last question. This is kind of, you know, because we had kind of, you and I had kind of talked about it off air and stuff, so it was, it kind of amused me, so I added it. Because you and I, of course, obviously you're in Texas, I'm in Saskatchewan, so it's not like we've hung out at the Dollar General or anything. But I would go to the Waffle House with you if I was down there, though. But obviously, we met in the, met air quotes, you know, in the Facebook groups, and, you know, we comment on stuff and pictures and videos and all that stuff. And I kept seeing Robert on there, and I was like, well, this guy's not an idiot as compared to some of these people in here, so... Yeah, I think I might have to get this guy on the show. But talking about those fight groups, what's your biggest pet peeve of a Facebook fight group?
Biggest pet peeve? Well, to be very vague, the stupidity. Like, the people that are in the, and this is kind of what we talk, the people that are in the groups that bitch about every fight.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, this isn't a fight, you know, like, or, you know, this guy, you know, this wouldn't have happened, you know, like, and if, you know, this guy wouldn't have won this fight if this wouldn't have happened. Well, guess what? That is what happened, so he won the fight, you know, like,
yeah.
And, like, speaking
of... I didn't like that fight because it was staged. People,
yeah. Or I didn't, like you said, I didn't like that fight because it was after a clean hit, you know, shit like that. But, yeah, stuff like that, and the one that really always gets me, and I'll defend him, and he's on my Mount Rushmore, is that Rob Ray was only good when his jersey came off. That's fucking bullshit.
There's,
you know, you can go find the video on YouTube of all his, you know, like, KOs or whatever, and the majority of them, more than half of them, are after the Rob Ray rule came in. when he was just, you know, still just knocking dudes out, you know?
You know what? I want to say
that's,
I did...
That's one of my bigger ones, yeah.
Yeah, I did that video. I broke that video down on one of my episodes. I remember talking about it, and I think it's like... I think he had 15 TKOs on the video, and I believe 11 of them his jersey was on. Or 12 of them.
Yeah. The dude has had a... And, like, I met Rob. I've talked to him a couple times. Super nice dude. And, like, I'm a big dude. I'm 6'3". I'm 300 pounds. And that dude's hands were, like, twice the size of mine. Yeah. Like, and I could see why he's knocking dudes out. Like, it's, you know, you hit a dude in the face with that, and it's, you know, it's hitting you from your jaw to your eyebrow, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like he was knocking out slouches either, man. He was putting some guys down.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Underrated power, I think, because everybody, because I remember there was a topic that came up with something like Koser versus Ray, who had the most knock or whatever, and like all these guys are just like, this is a joke. It's not even close. It's like, it isn't?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, and then it was like, then it came up, well, who did Koser drop, and then who did Ray drop? Let's look at the names. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's like, because somebody was saying, oh, Ray dropped nobodies. And it's like, come on now. Like, no, Dennis Vial and stuff, that's not a nobody. Like, you know, and it was...
Dennis Bonfi.
Yeah, and it was like... So, yeah, it was interesting. But no, I agree with you. Yeah, that Robert... Or that's the same thing. It goes further. It's like, Probert wouldn't have been as good if he had to tie his jersey down and all. He had a huge... I always hate when they use the term... Well, they had a huge advantage. It's like, well, no, you're using that word like the other guy couldn't take his off. Yeah, like... It was
exactly.
Like they were the only ones that were allowed to take it. Everyone else had to keep theirs on. It's like, that's how you're using the word. It's like, well, no, yeah. Everyone knew what was going to happen. So you could have taken... Now, granted, back in the day, Ray, yeah, okay, that was a little much. You know, he went a little far going, you know, going naked underneath, but it's like, okay. I mean, Probert at least had an undershirt, but it's still, it's like, but hey, at the end of the day, I'm like, it's about winning fights and it wasn't against the rules. So... Who gives a shit? I'm here to win fist fights, man. Like, I don't give a shit. Like I said, it wasn't for 30 years later for him to be judged by a bunch of nerds in a fight group saying, oh, he cheated because he came out of his jersey. Who gives a shit? I'm here to win fights and, like, not get killed, you know? So.
Look at the size of the dude. Ray might be 6 foot, you know?
Yeah.
And he's fighting, you know, Stu Grimson, guys that are 6'6", you know, like all these monsters.
Yeah.
You know, Dave Brown. Like, these guys are huge.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, if I'm him, I'm doing the same thing. But, like you said, anyone could have done it. McSorley did it. You know, McSorley's shit came off a lot. Churla's stuff came off quite a bit, too. You know, like, you know, most of those guys were just, you know, just, like you said, doing what they could to win a fight.
That's what it was about. Yeah. Well, and there was tons of jersey shit. Maybe it didn't come off, but some guys had tearaway sleeves. Other guys wore goalie jerseys. Other guys like had like, you know, spam on their jerseys so your hands couldn't grab. Like, oh, guys were doing anything back then, you know? So it was like, you know, Dave Brown's left sleeve was like spandex tight. It was like, any advantage necessary. And it was about winning fights and knocking dudes out. I mean, that's what it was all about. So... Yeah, but so I've never faulted any of these guys for that. They were just trying to survive, man. It was a jungle back then.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, there we go. There's 10 rapid-fire questions. I always call this segment rapid-fire, but it's never rapid, but that's okay. Well, before we go, though, you did comment that's like your three hobbies are hockey fights, horror movies, and wrestling. So we're going to do a bonus, folks, here. This is like the DVD when you get the bonus extras, folks. We're going to do it. Now, again, Robert didn't know I was going to do this, but we'll do a top three. No, okay, we'll do a Mount Rushmore. Let's see this Mount Rushmore. We'll rebound with this Mount Rushmore question. Horror movie, Mount Rushmore.
Movies or characters?
Oh, I guess, well, characters. That would make more sense. Yeah.
Okay. Characters, Myers is my number one. That's my first memory from any movie is Halloween, the 1978 version. I got to go Leatherface, being here in Texas, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There you go. Yep.
A later one, when I was an adult, is a big fan of Otis Driftwood from Rob Zombie's movies, from House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell. Big fan of that character. And just Bill Moseley, the guy who plays him, the super nice guy that helps too. Like, you know, had many conversations with that guy. And I'm going to go one, the last one here, as an underrated one, Candyman. A huge fan of the first movie. The sequels, but like that first one, I was 10 years old when that movie came out and I saw it, and it scared the shit out of me. So, yeah, I'm going to go Myers, Leatherface, Candyman, and Otis Driftwood.
When you were younger, when you were 10 years old, when the movie was done, did you go say Candyman 3 times in the mirror?
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
And I ran out of the room after I did it.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was
ran out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I'm so into like horror now and stuff, and like I have a huge, huge collection and stuff, but like. That shit, it scared the shit out of me when I was little. I was real, like, you know, real spooked by that stuff. But then as I got older, I don't know. It was just something, like, that I became real involved in. Like, I go to all those cons and shit like that, you know, yeah. To go meet the guys and collect autographs. And like, they're seriously, most of those people are the nicest people you could ever meet, you know.
Well, it was funny, yeah, because I can remember, you had Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, the original. Back in the day, man, when I was a young kid and saw that, scared the shit out of me, that movie, right? Like, it was just like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
I thought it was real.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time I saw it, I mean, I was under, you know, I was 8, 9 years old or whatever. I thought it was real. You know, I thought they were just filming murders.
Exactly.
You think well, like, when you're 8 years
old,
you know?
When did the original come out? When did the original come out?
74?
Yeah. So, yeah, like, so I was, yeah, I remember seeing it, and I was like, oh, 8, 9, 10 years old or something. Yeah, because it would have been, like, the early 80s when I saw it, and I remember it scared the shit out of me. Like, Well, and then what was the, oh, wrestling.
It's a very gritty movie.
It is very gritty. Wrestling, yeah. Okay. I will, well, because we were talking about wrestling before, but who are your top, we'll say your top three favorite wrestlers.
Top three. Three, I'm going to go Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I'm going to go Steve Austin. And one would be Bret Hart.
There you Hitman. Go. Love it. Tremendous.
I haven't been asked that in a long time.
Yeah. Well,
every time, too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. When I was doing the list episode there a while ago, it was like, yeah, I was doing like my five wrestlers. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to count tag teams as one, you know, so that, because I had to get the Road Warriors and the Midnight Express in there. But, well, there you go. So, well, folks, Robert, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It was that was a great appearance, and got some horror movies, got some wrestling. Oh, we got undercover toughness with Erskine and Marshall and Jamie Allison. Oh, folks, we were hitting you with some gems today. But I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. It was great.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?